Music is older than man. The morning stars sang together at the birth of creation. Musical instruments were among the first inventions. And Ada bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. It is quite probable that man's first score was folk country music. When Moses departed with the Israelites from Egypt, his sister Miriam sang a song of deliverance, accompanied by a chorus and instruments. David did as much for music, as recorded in the Bible, as any man between the covers. David must rank among the greatest musician composers of all times. He organized one of Earth's greatest schools of music under rigid training and discipline of the temple. There the Levites, free from the hardships of conquest and tax-free and tax-supported, practiced music. There were 38,000 in the tribe. 4,000 of them were appointed to praise Jehovah with the instruments David made. David taught them an intro that for centuries was known by his name. Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Over this great school of 4,000 gifted performers presided the sons of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun. There were 24 of them. They headed 24 divisions of 12 of skilled talent among the students. These men of excellent gifts were 288. Suppose the 4,000 in the school, organized in divisions, comprised in division strength, a full band of 166 instrumentalists, led by 12 skilled concert masters, with one of the sons of Asaph, Heman or Jeduthun, as conductor. And I'll tell you, there was music in that city. Some further facts and figures are available. The number of instruments in each band was more or less determined. There were to be no less than 2 psalteries. There were to be a maximum of 6. There must not be any less than 2 trumpets, but as many as desired. There were harps and zithers. These could not number less than 9. Again, they could number as many as desired. Only 1 set of cymbals was permitted. David believed that the heart should be set to singing. Music can express every emotion. I can find an outlet, whatever my experience. Music is proper at death. Music is proper at marriage. Music is proper in battle. Music is proper to herald peace. Music is proper at harvest. Music is proper at birth. I cannot conceive existence without music. It's a big reason that I don't want to go to hell. Music can lead a lost mind back to sanity. It did for King Saul. It swabs away bitterness and loneliness. I'm glad I live on a planet with words and score that say, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. I'm glad the concert halls of earth have rung to the magnificent God-edifying oratorios of Handel and Mendelssohn and Bach. Thank God for annual performances of the Messiah. Music proves that you and I can be stirred. It proves an inner man, a soul. Have you felt the hush of measured tread when the dead march from Saul is played at some great state function when a notable is buried? You would have felt it had you stood at the curb the day Theodore Roosevelt measured tread as he followed behind the casket of your son Quentin. You could feel the hush as hats were removed voluntarily, as smartly as though it had been by military command. Have you felt the pull of either the battle hymn of the Republic or Dixie? You can feel it down to your toes. And I stand tall when I hear a mighty fortress is our God. Have you sensed the burden of the laboring man? The vulgar boatman's song is a classic. You bend with sweat and knot that song implies. Have you known the comfort of a lullaby? In a second, you're cuddling in the refuge of a mother's arms. What an eternity to be shut off forever from music. Sinner, I don't know how you can contemplate it. You'll never hear the plaintive beckoning of the nightingale. You'll never know the rolling warble of the thrush. You'll never record the invitation of the canary. What will you do without such songsters? Will the groans and curses of the damned compensate? It is a decision of your own making, of course, if you hate your maker, if you really want to get away from it all. Well, you've chosen the right forwarding address. Nothing can equal the momentum of spirit-touched mass singing that pours from the hearts of believers gathered to some great evangelistic effort. My soul still throbs to the ascendancy of a song that the late Homer Rhoda Heaver led in the Billy Sunday campaign. Brighten the corner where you are. Such singing rallies the noblest ambitions. It focuses the purest desires. You feel the cleansing of mankind. There's a lift, and suddenly you are in the presence of God. It's a heaven that shuts away the sordid and the commonplace. Give me such evangelistic music, soul-saving music. And music, like all other art, grows. It has developed from the simple to the profound. There is a history to it, from harp to piano, from flute to symphony. Shall that development cease? Shall I conclude that the seven notes of the scale have been exhausted by Brahms and Beethoven and Mozart? Has the best been had, or is it yet to be? And if it is yet to be, where and when? Now that is both the hunger and the promise of the soul. There is a thumping inside that tells me that when I hear Rock of Ages cleft for me, that it is only the opening bars to Redemption's concerto. There is more to come, so much more. And shall I miss it? Not if throwing myself at the foot of Calvary makes it possible for a transgressor to change directions and head toward that sound. I mean to hear the eternal symphony, for as David filled Jerusalem with music in his reign, so the greater David designs to fill the new Jerusalem with praise. Do you hear the music of the soul? The music of the flesh is loud, with rock beat, invitation to animal level, frightening. It binds you to earth and time. The music of the soul is no less persuasive. It is uncluttered, and there is promise. There is no condemnation. Neither is there permissiveness or license. It beckons the listener toward higher things. I'll tell you this. Whatever your taste is down here will be your taste in the forever. Darwin wrote that he had so studied minutiae in his later years, he had lost all appreciation of the sounds of music. He was buried in dissection of entrails. He was lost in a pattern of clues that led him into jungles of apes and specie. His head was buried in the unexplained, and he could no longer hear. That can happen to you. The clatter of business machines can deafen your soul. Only the beat and the rock of the cash register bangs against your soul. The only score you read is the rise or fall, the quarter notes or the decimal 32nd note of the stock market. You hear nothing from another world. Your only response is to the tinkle, or to the jive, or to the jump of this world system. You can see the reflection in our time since World War II. This nation has been so busy building airlines, paving freeways, erecting tall buildings, going to the moon, expanding huge industrial plants, that the only music we've heard, the rock and roll of our times, sounds like the rivet being driven, concrete being poured, steel being rocked into place, traffic screeching and squealing on jammed highways. It's the music of our materialistic times, of clatter and clutter. Now there must be something superior, something that Bach and Handel heard, something from another world, something beyond the shrill of machine and pursuit of money. And I believe there is. I hear the opening bars in my soul. Let me take you to France, where so much music has been born. At the close of World War I, a march of victory brought together many divisions of the French veterans. On top of the Arc de Triomphe, a robed choir sang of triumph. As each division marched down the storied wide boulevard to pass under the arch built for Napoleon, the division stopped and paused. The choir rose and faced the division and sang this question: by what right do you come to the Arc of Triumph? And here were men with empty sleeves, sightless comrades led by the seeing, tattered battle flags, bloody with the courage of those who had stood and fought. And like a tidal wave, the answer was hurled back from the throats of veterans: we come from Verdun. And then under the Arc de Triomphe, they passed, men of victory. Now, will you head toward a scene like that? My soul demands that I do. It is tuned to stand up for Jesus. And there is a fountain filled with blood. And, mister, I mean to keep step with the veterans of the cross. Thank God for the divisions that will pass under the Arc of Triumph. Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, Mennonites, brethren in Christ, Lutheran, every tongue, every tribe. My right to be in that eternal parade is the same right you enjoy. Regardless of what shoulder patch you wear, I march by the right of heaven's theme song, unto him that loved us and loosed us from our sins, by his blood, to him be glory and dominion forever. Mister, I feel like singing. Throughout the years, crowds have hastened to the long, long altar, and they have come to find help, and they have found answers, God's answers to their problems. So join this stream of traffic. You are moving in the right direction in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
There's no energy crisis at the long, long altar. Our Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same power that changed Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle is available now. Whatever your need, Calvary is equal to it. The new birth will make everything look different. Your family, your job, your money, your language, your future. Ask the Lord to remake your life. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, I ask you to do this now. Receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Confess him to be the only begotten Son of God. That personal confession invitation permits Jesus Christ to place you under new management. And I know it works, for it has worked for me, and I'm happy now for your decision. Please unite with me in prayer and praise. We thank thee for the gift. Forgiveness and cleansing are rights we could not earn or purchase. Thou hast made them possible for us. What we are experiencing is supernatural. It is not a feeling that changes. It is not a thought acquired by study. Therefore, it is permanent and as far-reaching and as effective in our lives as eternity. We shall not come into condemnation. We are now judged and approved. We want our lives to be living sacrifices, to be directed in service to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We need and we seek the Holy Spirit for this. Baptize us with this majesty from heaven. We're grateful for the Revival Time Fellowship. Use it to strengthen us and to bring growth in our Christian lives. Amen. I will follow the prompting of the Spirit and interpret for you that divine indication as we entertain his presence. This is a well-filled broadcast altar, but squeezed down almost out of sight. There is a very young preacher, one just getting started in the ministry, who needs a message. You have read sermons. You could memorize them, but that doesn't fulfill your soul. You want to be a messenger, not a performer. And right now, you don't know what to preach. You're bewildered. All that you learned in school seems so academic. In this moment, there will be a sound from heaven in your soul. A message for your community will be born. The power of Thus Saith the Lord will take hold upon you, and it will be one of the most rewarding experiences of your life. Christ has seen your anxiety, and he has sent help. with your name on it, preacher. So, proclaim the word of the Lord boldly. Another record-breaking attendance has found the meeting. This Revival Time platform is so glad you came. Not to visualize us or embrace something put together by man, but to acknowledge God's presence. We are a network of Spirit-led believers, and the Revival Time crowd includes folk from everywhere. Our emphasis is this, that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.